It's my privilege to be able to speak on a topic. I've called it, for lack of really a better phrase, called it living in the kingdom. Because for many, many years now, I have been living in the kingdom. And what a journey. What a great way to live. I just thought of a verse that came to me as I was walking up here. And he says, the kingdom of God, Paul writes, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what kingdom life is about. And it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord and to know that you are in His kingdom. And so I called one some of the processes. Well, let me read, first of all, Matthew chapter 6. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a promise. And that's what we ask the Lord. Lord, let your kingdom come. Your authority and your rule over us. You know, you will always serve somebody. That's the nature of life. That's the nature of everything, of all spirituality, is that you will either, as Bob Dylan said, you'll serve the devil or you'll serve yourself, but you will serve. Everybody's going to serve somebody. And we have the privilege of bowing our knee and belonging. So I call this the exchange of sovereignties. That where we lived in one kingdom most of our life, now we've changed. We've exchanged it. And so the point I'd like to make on this is that we either live in Satan's counterfeit kingdom of darkness, or we live in the kingdom of God. There's only two kingdoms. There's not three or four or five. There's just two. And so when you read something like 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says that the God of this age, well, that's not Jesus. The God of this age is the defeated one. It's the devil. And it says, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, that when we confess that Jesus is Lord, there's the turning point. People who have entered the kingdom have one proclamation, and that proclamation is Jesus is Lord. When you confess that from your heart, God takes off our blinders and we're able to see. You know, when for years and years growing up, we weren't a religious family at all. And so I remember hearing, pretty well everybody in our town went to church back there in the 60s, pretty well, everybody. We would have been the oddballs. We would have been the misfit, that we didn't go to church. We just, nobody ever got there. And it wasn't until I was a teenager when I heard the message that God loves me and that Jesus died for me and that I could have a personal relationship with Him. It's just, that was mind-boggling. But I remember the night that I gave my life to Jesus, because I'm not sure what terminology we're going to use. And I can remember saying, Lord, I confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And it's like something was lifted off. Even as a very young, 14-year-old, I knew that something had happened in my heart when I said, Jesus, be my Lord. And I remember walking home in a cold, Dean, you'll know this, about 35 below, in the prairie wind, and walking home at crunch, crunch, crunch of the ice, but knowing that something had happened in my life, that I was no longer my own, that I belonged to Jesus. I didn't even tell my parents, because I was right about that. They were alarmed that I had gotten into some kind of a cult or something. And on the prairies, of course, everybody knew everybody's name anyway. But the secrets of the universe were revealed to me. Meaning I knew, but I knew things. I knew, all of a sudden, I knew about heaven, and I knew about hell, and I knew about the devil, and I knew about Jesus. And how could you at a young age like that? But I knew something had happened. And the insight that was given to me, and to everyone, I'm not making it just for me, it's that I had shifted sovereignties. Whereas before I lived in the kingdom of darkness, just stumbling through life, you know, trying to find meaning to life. And I moved to the kingdom of light. And I knew it. I knew that something could happen. So much so that when I walked in the house, my sister, who had invited Jesus as her Lord some months before, but I didn't, she was trying to tell me, but I didn't get it. You know, how many here, you've been around a lot, you didn't get a lot of stuff. I just didn't get it. I didn't understand it, and it just seemed unnecessary. But my sister promised, she said, listen, if you come to church with me, I'll never bother you again. And that seems like a good, fair thing. And so I went to a Christmas program. And I remember again the power of that. The night that I, of course, going back up, when the night that I gave my heart to the Lord, she said, there's something different about you now. And I kind of shrugged it off. But what it was the presence of Jesus in my life. Even my sister could tell that something had happened. She just knew that something had happened in my life. And of course, I remember we hugged each other because now it was the two of us. We both knew Christ. And we trying to live that life. Going to church. We started going to church twice. In those days, there was an evening service. And so we'd go to Sunday school or youth group, whatever else they had in the morning. And then we'd go again at night. And then it just seemed like... I can see why they were worried about us, because going to church too much seemed like to them. But the Lord was gracious, and I actually had the privilege of leading my mother to Christ. And she was able to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So when we confess that, the blinders go off, we're able to see. So we're in his kingdom, but What does that mean? Well, I think, first of all, it means that there is a submission to the king. That must take place, a submission to the king. Paul makes this confession central to kingdom life. If you have not submitted to the king, bowed your knee and said, Jesus, be thou my Lord and my Savior, then we have not entered the kingdom. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to verse 9, the writer says, the word is near you, it is in your mouth, and is in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you, and catch this, because this is really remarkable, that if you confess with your mouth, okay, we all have a mouth, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the promise. If I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, and I believe that God has raised him, Jesus, from the dead, if I believe that, bang, I'm in the kingdom. That's the prerequisite. That's the minimum thing that must happen. And you will be saved. So Jesus is both our living Lord and our risen Savior. And as we surrender to him, and that's really what it's about. I guess if we could just simplify the whole thing, it's just that God sent Jesus to die for our sins. And that if I believe that, God will put me in his kingdom, and it's just a matter of surrendering. And you see, when we say, have you come to know Jesus as Lord? He's your Lord. You've submitted to this great... See, before, it's always... In the kingdom of darkness, you see, everybody does their own thing. It's like the Titanic. We're going to play soccer on the Titanic. Nobody cares if you play soccer on the Titanic. Why? Because it's going down. There's something about... When you come to the Lord, there is this surrender to him and to his authority... And we anticipate, of course, after that happens, we surrender to him, and we anticipate the day that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's from Philippians. And isn't that what we hope? Our prayer is. Our prayer is that we would, that not just would my knee would bow as to the sovereign king, and as I surrender my heart, and then as Marcel bows his knee, surrenders his heart, bows yours knee, and then keeps going. And the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue in this whole world of 7 billion, or is it 7? How many is it? It's a lot of people. 10 million people. I don't know how many it is, but it's a lot of people. And everyone, the scripture says, will bow their knee. And can you imagine the uproar in hell when one more person bows their knee and surrenders their life to the king? Can you imagine? There must be terror. There must be fear of the enemy, of the demons. But who knows that they will have to bow their knee, and the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. So our confession that Jesus is Lord doesn't come from our own insight. It doesn't come from our own inspiration. It comes from his self-revelation, authored by the Father and given through the Spirit. It's not a matter of me coming to some insight that I read. It's that God already opens our hearts and our minds. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. It says, Simon Peter answered and said, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And now he's responding. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It didn't come by your clever insight. It didn't come by your knowledge of Scripture. It came as a revelation. And I don't think anybody can come to Christ without the revelation that Jesus is Lord. That has to happen. And he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, except my Father in heaven, he did. So as a young, ignorant, young teenager, I had a revelation. I didn't know what that was at that time. The revelation was that God loved me and that Jesus died for me. And if I would bow my knee and confess and believe, I could enter his kingdom. And I did. And now as I look through my life, all the people, the hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you know, that I've seen bow their knee to Christ. They're kingdom people. The kingdom of God is important to them. And, of course, the enemy is like he's got to keep everybody away from this truth. And so it's like there's a darkness that's come over the whole world. The God of this world has darkened this world so that we don't get it. And it's a wonderful thing when a revelation comes that say, I get it. I finally got this thing. And this is comes only by our prayers for that person. But I know you just can't say, oh, I get it. And no, it has to come. You say, I finally see the truth. And so no one can say, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, nobody can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not that, I mean, you could go across to the Black Bear and say Jesus is Lord, and they could say Jesus is Lord. It's not some abracadabra formula. He's not saying that. He said it comes, it's not just some personal thing. God has spoken to your heart, and we're able to say Jesus is Lord. It wouldn't come naturally. And I think in our world, people, you can believe in God, but the minute you say Jesus is Lord, there's usually some kickback. Well, we don't need to have Jesus now, do we? Yes, we do. We do need to have Jesus. But it comes, and our hearts are open. And I'm thinking of Doug in the back row there. Doug, don't you remember you and Bill going through all that stuff, and then God finally just reveals him. He says, this is the truth. And Doug is transformed, right? That's just how he's, wow. And all of a sudden, one minute he's out, and next minute he's in. And everybody knew that he had come in. We just knew. We knew that Doug had got saved. Well, he looked the same, but he was a different person. And that's the joy of this thing. And as we bow our knee to Christ, it's a powerful and wonderful thing. Confession of Jesus' lordship comes through the revelation and the conviction of God's Spirit as we enter the kingdom. God speaks for himself, and he opens the eyes as we surrender. You see, my eyes, my spiritual eyes were opened like never had they been before. And I knew that it wasn't by good works. I knew it wasn't, it was only by grace. I knew it was only for sinners saved by grace. How could you know so much? Because the revelation of Jesus. And that's why a 10-year-old child, I mean, an 8-year-old child can have an experience with Jesus. That's why at VBS we say, would anybody would like to invite Jesus to be their Lord? And, you know, with little children, and they say afterwards, I gave my heart to Jesus. What it means is I surrendered, I confessed Jesus as Lord, and I've surrendered my life. And you didn't, you know, and you know more than the philosophers. You know more than the learned. Simply because of the revelation, I get it. Jesus died for me. Rose again for me. Jesus is Lord. Wow. What is our prayer? We pray for our community. What do we pray? How, listen to it at a prayer meeting. We pray that somehow, some way, that the people in this community that we live in would come to know Jesus as Lord. This is what we ache for, right? We ache that there would be a revelation. God, open their eyes, God. God, open their eyes. So they too could experience the love and power and grace of Jesus. And it's not a matter of joy. I see, people often want to join the church. They say, I'd like to join the church. And I say, you know, just a thought, you're trying to be tactful. Have you invited Jesus into your life? What do you mean? No, I'd like to become a member. I said, well, we could make you a member. We could ask you to be, yeah. But you have to have, see, and now I'm treading water. I don't know what to say. Because how many know this has got nothing to do with church attendance? This has got nothing to do with that thing. It has to do with this personal relationship. And this person thought, if I joined the church, then my life will be changed. But it wouldn't be. You can join as many churches as you want. But when you meet the Lord, when you've invited the Lord to come into your heart, then someone might say, I would like to be baptized. I'm going to follow Christ. And he's my Lord. And because upon confession of your, and isn't that what we say? Upon confession of your faith. What confession? Jesus is Lord and God has raised him from the dead. Those two things. And so as you confess Jesus Lord, you can be baptized. And they come into the water. I love that service. That's a great service. And down they go. And they come up. Wow. Buried with Christ. Raised with Christ to new life. Wow. But you know that the Spirit has been at work. Because they would not be getting baptized if the Spirit of the Lord had not been working in their hearts. They had a revelation. Maybe they came to church and we said, listen, don't worry about church membership. Just come and hang out with us, and you'll probably hear some good stuff. And so they hang out, and later they say, by the way, Gary's not here in this service, but in the last service, John and I, we just by accident befriended him, right, John? And we get talking, because John's freely talking about the church and the Lord, and John invites him if he'd like to come to church. And you've seen him in the wheelchair. It's not an easy thing for him to get around. But on a Wednesday night, it would have been, what month would that have been? I can't remember what month that was. July for us. He's going up the elevator. And just before he goes, I said, Gary, I just want to say goodnight to you. And he said, well, it was a really good night for me. Oh, why? Was it a really good night? I didn't even know what happened. Yeah, I gave my heart to Christ. Oh, man. I said, Gary, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful. What happened? Just tonight, I felt I confessed and believed. And guess what? God says you're in. God says you're in. That's all. And yet, what a struggle that is, right? To say, yes, but then I couldn't run my own show. If I go, then I got to do what God wants, not what I want. And I think I met some Christians, they're kind of weird, and that's not helping me. And I never have enjoyed religious people. So I don't know. I don't want to become like my uncle. Right, and these are the kind of battles, right? We battle with wondering what, and yet, Lord, I must come. Lord, I can't come. I want to come. No, I want to be my own boss. I want to rule my own kingdom. I want to be my own man. And so we join the kingdom of darkness. And yet you feel the unhappiness of that, knowing that that's, you know, like, for example, many times in New Age things, one thing I can say to the benefit of New Age is that they cycle through so many things that if you just wait, abide your time, it'll be through again. And they'll, you know, right now they're into this or into meditation or into whatever they're into. And you kind of think, well, that's okay. Because it will be so unsatisfying eventually. Right? So it'll be so unsatisfying. So coming to know the Lord, you know, coming out of that water, making that confession, the reason they made the confession is because they had already confessed that Jesus is the King and the ruler over our lives. To say Jesus is Lord means to renounce all other lords. I can remember Bill and Diane McCauley and myself and maybe a couple others were up at the lodge. And Diane, such a loving person, such a caring person, and she leans down to this one fellow. She says, do you know the Lord? And he can't hear that well either. He says, Lord who? I said, no, she said, do you know the Lord? Lord who? And we laughed about that for days. No, Lord, the Lord Jesus. No, never heard of him. Well, we were a bit discouraged by that, but that is okay. Because you still need to ask, do you know the Lord? Is he your Lord? You see, no ideology, no political philosophy, no drug, no person can have a higher claim on our lives. See, we're responding to a claim. God wants to put a claim on your life and on my life. And as that happens, so all our idols must be pulled down. You can't come skipping into the kingdom of God when there are all types of idols that I have in my life. I may have in my life. So unless all our idols, they must be pulled down, must be repented of, and crushed at Jesus' feet. I can't be Jesus and that's, you know, and a bit of this and a bit of that. Although I remember one time we were baptizing some people at Ambleside, and this individual wanted us to baptize them, and I said, "Well, I didn't know you'd given your heart to the Lord." And that's wonderful. I said, "Yes, we'd be glad." No, I haven't given. No, I just covering my bases. I got some different views. And I think I just don't want to be wrong on this. So I said, I'm just making sure I get baptized now as a Christian because I've already gone through. I've been studying Hinduism and I've studied this and I've studied that. And he was just hedging his bets. And I said, we can't baptize you because you haven't pulled down and repented of and crushed at Jesus' feet the idols of your life. You still have idols. And some idols, of course, are religious, but not all of them. The idols of pride. That's one, you know, the thought of what somebody might say. If I give my heart to Christ, what are the neighbors going to say? What are our mutual friends going to say? And so we're not quite sure, right? So the idols of pride, the idols of power. The idols of control. How can I say Jesus is Lord when I'm Lord? Self-medication. Isn't that all part of it? Family. Friends. Internet pornography. There's all kinds of areas of your life that must be broken. Legalism. You might be religious in nature and yet not know the Lord. Self-righteous. Yikes. Oh, some of those are huge idols of self-righteousness. Mind-altering meditation. Witchcraft, I used to have a list, I may still have it somewhere, I used to have a list of 28 things that had people renounce if they'd been in occult. And almost to the person, nobody ever could, oh no, I've never done that. You never were. Well, I said, it's funny because most people have had quite a stint in and out. And I said, I thought maybe you would. No. I said, I'll just state them, you just check them off if there is anything. Oh, okay. 28 things. They always get the same. There was always at least 28 things that they had opened their life to. It went under different names and different titles and so on. But the point was, witchcraft and magic, that has to be renounced. I can't take it with me into the kingdom of God. It just isn't. It just can't be that way. I suppose we could add to that. How about gambling? Yeah. How about self-advancement? How about the children? What about health? What about security in old age? Security in old age can become an idol in itself, where I'm more concerned about who's going to look after me than I am about serving the Lord. And all of these things must go. They all have to go. That's just one of the exchanging of sovereignties. Those things, I exchange all those things that I mentioned, and there may be 100 other more, in order to embrace the kingdom of God. You see, anything that takes the place of Jesus is an idol. That's the difference. There's anything that takes the place of Jesus. In our passions and in our devotion, that's an idol. And it never hurts us to go through and say, do I have other idols other than Jesus? By the way, as I walked over to our Waves class here this morning, it sounds like a fitness, doesn't it? We were having coffee with our group. And as I was walking over, I found myself thinking of today and thinking of this. I was thinking at how wonderful the things that had happened in my life over the years when I said yes to the Lord and allowed Him to rule me. It's wonderful to get yourself off your own hands. You know, shake that off of your hands. You've got too tight a grip on it. You can't enter the kingdom when you're gripping all those things. There's a lightness, you see, there's something about kingdom life. There's a lightness to it. I'm not worried. Because Jesus said in so many different ways that if you look after me, you look after, focus on my kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. You don't worry. Focus on the kingdom of God and don't worry about those things. Release them. Get them off your hand. They're too heavy anyway. And let the lightness of kingdom life, that we don't worry. We don't stay worried. Everybody worries us to some degree, I'm sure. So I'm thinking of 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, where the battle of Elijah, that Baal, there was a strength thing, and the fire, of course, they put water all over it, and they lit the fire. And the question that Elijah asked was this: how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him, as 1 Kings 18:21. And if not, then go the other way. And I thought, wow, that's God has called us and revealed Jesus as Lord to us that we follow Him. And they had this choice. They said, listen, either go one way or the other. Either you're with Baal or you're with the living God. And that still remains, that call. How long will you stand between two opinions? I must make Jesus the only Lord. He can't be many lords. He must be the only Lord. That's just what the teaching of Scripture. Yeah. God has told us God has brought us to the place that He would reveal Himself. So to say that Jesus is Lord really is to worship Him, to worship our wonderful, wonderful Lord. Our minds, our memories, our emotions, our desires, our instincts, our fantasies, our will, and we're able to say, He has me. I've often thought that a t-shirt on the back would be tastefully done, but it would say, His. his. And people would say, well, what is that? What does your t-shirt say? I'm not my own. I've given myself over to God. And I'm living in the kingdom of God. How beautiful, how wonderful is that? You see, God doesn't want just our souls. He wants us all. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. And how wonderful. And that brings us to regeneration. Well, that's an interesting word. But when our first parents sinned, the human race was unplugged from the life of God. Were you aware of that? Did you realize that? That because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, the whole human race is unplugged from the life of God, so that everyone who is born in this world, so we come in as a little 22-inch, in our little 22-inch pink, the skin that we come in. Thank you. Yes, there it is. Thank you so much. That's good. So how does that work? Well, we all arrive DOA, dead on arrival. We have an active mind. We enjoy things. But the point of it is that we have no spiritual life. We are born without the life of God. And thus, because we're unplugged from the life of God, when we are delivered from Satan's kingdom, we are born again or born from above by the power of the Spirit. The reason I come dead on arrival. I don't have a natural inclination for the Lord. As a matter of fact, I'm actually against him. And I don't want him interfering. I've had people tell me over the years, folks, I'm not exaggerating one little bit with this. I have people say, I don't want your God. Can you guys get that through your heads? That I don't want your God. And I thought, well, everybody wants them. No, they don't. And some said, and I don't want to bring this conversation up again. And all you can do is just weep that but I get it in one way. How can they? They're dead spiritually. They're dead. They do not have the life of God. The one thing about being born again means is that you have the life of God. I was born. I used to tell Val, when we'd go through our hometown, that I said, I'll show you where a man was born twice. And she'd roll her eyes. And I'd drive down the street. I'd go stop at the hospital. The hospital's still there. And I said, right here, I was born. Right here, I was born at this hospital. Then I drive around the corner, drive about two blocks, and here is where I was born again. This one I received the life of, life, but I didn't receive eternal life. I said, here I received eternal life. I said, in the same town, I had two births. And as Val rolls her eyes, she says, yeah, how many times do I hear this story? But we need a spiritual birth. We leave our world and we enter into another world. We don't normally naturally have an inclination towards it, but when the Spirit of God begins to speak to us, then we are changed. The lights go on. The darkness flees. Jesus is now real. The Holy Spirit enters us and works in us. The Bible speaks to us. The spiritual world comes alive, and we are alive in it. We sense God's leading. We belong to God's people. We have an eternal family and an eternal destiny. In order to live the lives for which we are created, we must be born again. All of those things push us towards Jesus, and we give our hearts. And I, of course, now I hear people say, you're not one of, what kind of church is this? And they say, it's not one of those born-again churches, is it? And my answer is always to say, well, I hope so, because is there another kind? There's only one kind, right? There's only one kind. And but people don't get that because they haven't experienced the life of God. There's millions of religious people that have not experienced the life of God. And our job, of course, is to live a life that would encourage them to say yes to the Lord. But we need a spiritual birth. And that's John 3 and verse 8, he says, and so is everyone that's born of the Spirit, that we hear the sound of it. We don't know who's coming to the Lord. We don't know what stage they're at. When you meet somebody, one of the first things I wonder about when I get on a bus and somebody's chatting beside me, I found myself wanting to say, are you a Christian? But you only get one chance at that, so you have to be careful with that question. But it's how wonderful when somebody says, yes, I am. How did you know? I said, there's just something about you that made me wonder if you were a believer, if you follow Jesus. Oh, I do. I'm just amazed that you knew that I was. I said, well, I'm not claiming anything. I just sensed that you seemed like you knew. How many know you've had experiences like that with people? And you found out that they belong to the Lord as well. How beautiful is that? So when he makes us alive, it's a work of grace. It's a miracle of grace. And I'm thinking of Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9. You remember that? It's a great picture of the new birth. They had sinned. God sent serpents in, and they're all dying, and they cry out to the Lord for his help, and his help comes. They said, listen, so Moses put a brazen brass serpent on the end of this pole and lift up that pole, and I'm going to tell the people that everybody who looks will be saved. And sure enough, that's what they did. And what was that picture of? It's a prophetic picture of what he would do for us on the cross. He said, look and live. And the pole went up, and all they had to do was to look. Many didn't look and perished. But the picture, of course, is Jesus, of what he would do for us on the cross. Like the serpent, the brass serpent, he must be lifted up. And that's what Moses said, lifted up that pole. He must be lifted up. And there, as our sins are forgiven, we are cleansed simply by looking. You, this morning, can receive new life. I can receive new life. It's just that simple. It's just a matter of me looking only to the Lord and recognizing my bankruptcy and say, Lord, I need a relationship with you. I really need a relationship with you. I don't need more church. I don't need more religion. I need a relationship with you. And so I look, and I look to Christ, the cross. The cross. And you say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my place. How wonderful that I can know you. And all I require is to look. Just look away. And as they looked on those, that was how the life came. Every single one was spared when they did that. Well, and that brings us then to something else, and that's sanctification. I'm aware that when we begin to enter the kingdom of God, there is a progressive transformation. We become more and more like Jesus. And this happens both by crisis as well as by process. Sometimes people instantly, or at least seemingly instantly, they come to the Lord, and wow, they're completely changed. Completely changed. I have met people that I knew them that they were not believers, and even close to being that. And in one moment, they went forward in a meeting, threw away their drugs, threw away all the paraphernalia of their life, and said, I'd like to follow the Lord. And I said, how can that be? How could that? It didn't even seem fair in some ways. How could this one person goes to one meeting, doesn't go to any, gives his heart to the Lord, and never, as far as I know, never look back? Well, for some, it's a crisis. But other people, how many know that your entry to the kingdom of God has been a process? You know, you see more and more changes in your life, and you realize that Jesus has done that because you invited him to do that. For many, conversion is, as I mentioned, is a crisis. And many times, it is a process. But there's a prayer that I like us to pray together. Because one of the things that mark the kingdom life is that the Holy Spirit wants to touch us. And I wrote this little prayer out. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, fill me with your life and power. Anoint me like Jesus for the kingdom ministry you were calling me to do. I yield and wait patiently for you. And I can't think of a, that's a great prayer. Or we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us with his life and his power, that there would be the anointing on our lives. A wonderful anointing. I think this is true as I wrap it up here. It's an awful thing to go to church for your whole life and not know the Lord. I can't imagine what that's like, except that one time I had a grandfather on my mother's side, came to visit us in the early 80s. And he came by himself. He was in his 80s. He was the oldest submarine pilot in the British Commonwealth when he was alive. And he came to visit us, especially to see my sister's kids. And on the way home, before he left, he said, "Well, I won't be seeing you again." He said, "Because I'm old and I won't be seeing you again." And he said, "But I've got my affairs in order and all is well." I said, "Granddad, that's good. That's really glad to hear that." I said, we just can't thank you enough for coming. So thank you for coming. And I said, can I ask you a question? You said that you got everything in order. Wrong question to ask a pastor, right? I said, what did you mean by that? Well, he said, I had to get everything in order just because I won't be around for long. I said, did you ever give your life to Christ? Cool, blimey, never thought of that. Never thought of that. And I said, you never thought of ever? No. That's brilliant, you know. That's what he, that was his answer. 89 years of age, or 90, whatever, 89, 90, really up there. And never, he got his house in order, he got his finances in order, he came saying goodbye to all the grandkids, but it never, now, when he, by the way, I was just fast forward here. When he got home, back to England, they said, "What was your highlights?" He said, "The little granddaughter." And he really, really liked her. And and then he says, "And something Owen said." Owen says it? Yes, he said, "I've been mulling it a lot." He said, anyway, he told me what happened. "You know, I have a sense that he received the Lord. We won't know about these things, right? You can't tell for you. The wind blows where it will. We prayed. We shared as much as we can. I wanted him to experience the life of God. But it was all new to him in so many ways. But it only, here's my point. It only takes one little seed. It only takes, if he would just look to Jesus. He doesn't have to do anything, right? Remember the thief on the cross? Remember, he says, "Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord, when you enter your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? "Get baptized?" No. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Bam! How could that be? The other thief said, "Well, if you are who you say you are, then why don't you get off this, you know, this cross and do something about it?" But it was the thief on the cross. He didn't get baptized. He didn't join a church. All he did was gaze at Jesus. And that was enough. And so for the people that we know and we love, and we'd love to see them enter the kingdom, we must patiently wait for the Spirit of God to do that work. And we wouldn't see, because we want to say, "Well, I want to see this one. I've got Marguerite, we've got neighbors that we'd like to see come to know the Lord. I've got people in my life I would love to see, but I'm so reluctant, because once you share once, and if you offend, then they don't want to hear anything from you." And so we have this sensitivity as we do kingdom work. We have a sensitivity. Treat people with the most respect you can, because it might just set the stage that they felt your love and felt your care and felt that you really took an interest in them. But if you're out to just get a scalp, You know, if you're just trying to herd them into the kingdom of God, it'll backfire. This is why we need the Spirit of the Lord. So please stand with me. Let's pray a prayer. We have an opportunity in our world. There's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fears. And even the world is saying, what the heck's going on? Even announcers. It's like our world, it seems like our world is going crazy. And maybe it is. But we have this opportunity. Our concern is not that. Our concern is that we surrender to the kingdom. That's all we can do. We can't do more than that. We have this opportunity to share. And I'd like to think that as long as I have breath, I might be instrumental in pointing somebody, maybe just one, maybe two, or I don't know how many, but I might just nudge them a little bit and they'll look back and say, remember that conversation I had? Yeah, well, I gave my life to the Lord. Oh, man. See, there is, next to receiving Christ yourself, there is nothing like watching somebody come to the Lord, knowing that it's a sheer work of the Holy Spirit. That you had almost zero, matter of fact, probably the negative side. In spite of us, that person bowed their knee. But this is what we concern ourselves. You can't save the world. You can just be authentic. You can just be real. And if you're authentic and you're real, and you befriend and love, I think that person will say, I'm going to pursue this kingdom of God thing a little bit more. If not, we'll just turn them off and they'll think we're just religious. And I say again, this is anything but religious, what I'm talking about. This is not about church. This is about the Lord wanting to be the sovereign king, wanting to come into your heart and for us to bring others into the kingdom as well. So bow your heart with me if you would. Thank you, Lord. I think we, more than anything else, we need an anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. And so, Father, thank you for anointing us as you anointed Jesus. We ask you to anoint us as we bring the gospel of grace to a needy world. We pray, Lord, that you might use us. We know that you're the answer. Lord, it's not about trying or doing. It's just about gazing at you. It's like the thief on the cross. We thank you for that story. And so here we are, Lord, this morning. And we say yes to you. Yes to your will. Yes to your plan. And if you could use us, Lord, that would be fantastic. We thank you for the love of God that comes into our heart. Thank you for the changes, Lord, both the progressive and the process as well as the crisis. We know that we must let the Spirit do the work. And so here we are. We present ourselves as living sacrifices. And we'll thank you and praise you for coming to the kingdom at this hour, Lord, that we are used of you at this moment. And we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remain standing just for a second. I think what we should do, we could ask some questions, but I think it's pretty straightforward. So I think what we're going to do, just stay seated for just a minute or so, just in reflection, half a minute even. But just as a moment of, you think about how God would use you, just for a moment, and then we'll slip out. If you have to go, by the way, if you're going to pick up kids, that's different, but just sit for a minute.